Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode, Donald and I are going to explore skeptics and skepticism. So we're going to do something a little different this episode, because in the realms in which we play, we encounter a lot of skeptics and a lot of skepticism. So it's kind of interesting to really delve into something that's quite opposed to the playground that we usually like to sit in. So, Donald, you know, I think I'm going to start it this way.
Okay.
Of the topics that we tend to explore and the information that we tend to investigate, where is your greatest area of skepticism tend to be?
What I'm most skeptical about?
Yeah.
Let me see. I would probably have to say conspiracy theories.
Oh. And why is that?
Because it's very difficult to have proof, because it's so subjective, where anyone can take two pieces of information and make connections between them to sound like they make sense, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know. And I mean, there have been times, I think a few episodes ago, I can't remember which one it was, I remember there was a part around the end of the episode where I was talking, and all of a sudden my focus left completely, but I still remembered what I had said before, and I was trying to whip it around the what I was saying around to a point where I could hand it back off to you, but instead I went way off the edge. And I remember in the recording you're like, where are you going with this, Donald?
What episode was that?
I don't know. It was in the last five episodes. And I see conspiracy theories as being kind of along the same lines, because, you know, if there's at least a nugget of truth for me, then, or I have difficulty feeling it out using the intuition, because my intuition says there's truth there, but my brain, there's part of my brain, my common sense, at times, depending on the theory, it's kind of like, wait a second, this sounds really silly. And so it's kind of like there's a conflict between my skepticism and my intuition. And so conspiracy theories are one of the areas where I would have to say I'm most skeptical. What about you?
But I guess why? What makes you skeptical about those more than anything else?
Because most anything else I can feel out, and I'm happy and confident that I'm able to feel out to my satisfaction of whether I want to believe it or not believe it or discard it, leave it alone.
Let's try something. I want to play with something here for a second. Okay, now, this is going to be a fire round. You ready?
Sure, why not?
We're going to do a fire round. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw out a topic, and you could say skeptic or believer.
Okay, and this is me, and this is my personal view.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I say something and you're just say skeptic.
What if I'm half and half?
Say right down the middle.
Okay. So okay. I'll say middle. So skeptic, believer, middle. Got it. Let's go. Okay.
All right. Bigfoot.
Middle.
UFOs.
Believer.
Time travel.
Believer.
Ooh. It's that science fiction influence, isn't
it? Yeah.
Okay. Jesus is God.
Skeptic.
Ooh, wow. Wow. Okay. Let's see. What else have we got? Past lives.
Believer.
Destiny.
Believer.
Free will.
Believer. Whoa. Hold on.
See what I did to you?
Oh,
there?
I see what you Hold on. Free will. Okay, that one I'm going to have to see right down the middle.
Oh, free will's right down the middle, but Destiny is a believer. Okay. how about psychic abilities?
Believer.
Energy healing?
Believer.
Immortality?
Middle.
What, middle? Wow. Okay. Any of those you want to talk about a little bit?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Really?
I'll tell you what, the whole immortality thing, for me, it is down the middle, because being physically immortal, I can see that happening. I can see that being in the realm of possibility. But at the same time, I have difficulty, you know, really accepting it fully, because it's kind of like, well, it doesn't happen all the time, and I've never met an immortal that I've known was an immortal. And it, you know, it's kind of one of those human ideas that's kind of like, what would I do if I lived forever? Mm-hmm. So that's why it's right down the middle, because it's cognitive dissonance for me, because I have conflicting ideas of possibilities there. So it's like, ow.
You know, the interesting thing is you were probably, I didn't write it down or record. I just was firing it off. But the only thing you said you were skeptical on was Jesus is a God.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay. I just find that very interesting.
Okay. Why did you find that so interesting?
Well,
you're like in shock or something.
No, I'm not in shock, but let's do this. We'll come back to that. And I want to come back to that because maybe we'll explore skepticism in its own nature in general. And to do that, I'm actually going to bring up, for our listeners, Donald and I were talking before the show, as we always do. We always have a conversation before the show. And sometimes it's just to ask what types of shoes we bought at Nordstrom.
So I don't shop at Nordstrom.
Is there a Nordstrom out there on your
coast?
Probably,
but I don't shop there, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, so anyway, we had a conversation, and we were talking about this is a topic about skepticism, and I was telling Donald that I was just driving to work where a lot of things come in my head, and I was thinking about skepticism in general and skeptics in general. I thought, well, that'd be kind of interesting to talk about for a podcast topic. And then later on, I subscribe to several blogs, and one of the blogs I subscribe to is the Weiler Psi by Craig Weiler. And if anybody follows this and knows Craig Weiler, please correct me if it's actually Wheeler. So I want to give him respect where maybe I'll email him and say, is it? I don't know him, but am I getting a little – okay, let's get on with the point, David. The point is that he – he does his best, and I think he does an excellent job of taking a very scientific approach to psi, to psychic abilities, and to paranormal and psychic clairer senses and to psychic information. And he comes across a lot of skeptics because he takes a scientific approach. Mm-hmm. I think that's what attracts him to psychics or to the skeptics more than anything. And so he actually did a whole blog post on skeptics and left brain pitfalls. And so he talked about what he finds very interesting about skeptics, and one of the things that struck me is that when he's talking to skeptics and he says, oh, let me show you the scientific validation, they refuse. They don't want to read it. They're like, I'm not going to pay attention to that nonsense. So he said, well, what is that? Why is it there's such a hard drive to stand behind your skepticism so strongly that you refuse to entertain any evidence that might be of the contrary? It's almost like the skepticism is more valuable than the actual, you know, examination of evidence. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's interesting that he had talked about that a lot of skeptics will just say, well, I'm not discussing that because it's ridiculous. If we said Bigfoot, for example, they'd say, well, that's just ridiculous. People have faked Bigfoot all the time. And you say, well, there's DNA samples that have been taken that are a combination of did we talk about this? The DNA samples of Sasquatch?
I don't think so.
We did not. What the hell is wrong with us? what kind of show is this that we don't talk about? They've done. I'll look for the article about it. But it's an article about DNA samples taken from Sasquatch. The article saying is that the evidence that they found, it says that it shows elements of human DNA in it, but also DNA of something that is not recognizable by us. So you take this to the skeptic. The skeptic's going to say, well, that's just junk science, or that's – what is the one they like to use? Pseudoscience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just pseudoscience. well, if it's using empirical evidence, how is it pseudoscience? But they don't even want to entertain into a discussion on it. And I think there's – that's what his article was about, is what is the compulsion for such hardline skepticism?
Interesting. Before we get too far into the episode, I would actually like to give you a fire round too.
Let's go.
If you're cool with that.
Yep.
Okay. Now I have to go back through over 70 episodes to think of things that would be good ones for you. So, divination.
Middle.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. That one catches my attention right there. Multiverse.
Oh, believer.
Okay. Doppelgangers.
Middle.
Astrology.
Believer.
Okay. And soulmates.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say believer. Oh, that's I'm a believer. What am I saying? the problem is that when you give me those, I'm trying to think of, like, for example, when I said middle about divination.
Yeah.
It's because it's not that I don't believe. See, and I guess I need to qualify that. I do believe in divination, but I don't trust all diviners.
Oh, okay. And see, that's the same issue that I had with immortality, because I'm like, well, yes, our consciousness is immortal and everything. We'll go with what most people consider when they hear mortality. It's like, oh, body lasting forever. Okay. And that's where I had the same issue that you had with divination. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we need to talk about it as concepts then. But the concept of divination is, if we just say, is divination, do I believe it is valid? I would say believer.
Okay, gotcha.
So now here's what I think is interesting. What were you going to say?
What I was going to say is, like, if we go with the concept, if we're going just with the concept of immortality, then – oh, I'm still in the same place. Darn.
Well, here's an interesting contrast. Okay, for you – okay, channeling.
Mm-hmm.
No, for a fire round, what was your answer?
I'm sorry. Believer.
Oh, wow. Okay. Channeling was always one of the ones that I thought you were a little skeptical on.
See, this is the same thing with you with divination, because I totally believe in channeling. I believe that channeling is it is a thing, like gravity. But there are a lot of people that come out that are channels that I don't really put a lot of faith in.
Okay. So when we're using the qualification of, do you believe in it as a possibility, as a concept? Now, what were some of the ones that I said that you said middle? Would you change your answer?
The ones that you said were middle, or ones I said were middle?
The ones you said were middle.
You know?
Like Bigfoot. Didn't you say middle on that one?
I think I did. Yeah, I believe I did. I'd have to go back and listen to it, but I'm pretty sure I did say middle. Oh, I would have to say just barely on the side of believer.
Okay,
just barely. In other words, 51%.
Okay. Well, here's the interesting thing that I am a little bit more skeptical than not, and I'll have to qualify why.
Okay.
You and I talked about in the, what was the episode? I think it was it the Aliens episode? I don't know if it was it might have been Aliens.
I don't know what you're going to present, so I don't know what episode it was in.
Oh, I guess it we'll just leave it at that. It was the Alien. Was it the Aliens episode, Donald? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Well, sure, now, why not?
How am I going to do that? Why am I going to ask you? Jackie says I do that all the time. I'll be like, was I? And she's like, what are you talking about? Well, no. Okay, in the Aliens episode, I think it was, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, once you receive more information on which to base your answer.
Is that your final answer?
Is that your final answer? Can you want to phone a friend?
Yeah.
None of our friends are going to take our call. The caller ID, they're going to hang up. I just know it. In the Alien episode, we talked about the Anunnaki, and we talked about aliens coming and messing with the DNA of the indigenous life forms, which might have been human or humanoid or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had a slight different of opinion on that. You believe that humans are a result of us getting messed with or tinkered, DNA tinkering.
Yes.
Yes. I am very middle on that. Very middle. I think that's too easy an answer. I think we're throwing a lot of things out when we just put it that way.
So, what kind of things are we throwing out?
How do I do this without taking this too tangentially?
We're talking about
Oh,
skepticism, so
no, no, here, here's,
this
okay, well, then I'll just say this. Whenever I read about, and right now in my studies, I've been reading about ancient Egyptian civilizations, and you get such mixed stuff from it. You get, okay, well, Isis was a god. Then you get Isis was a ruler. Then you get Isis was an alien. Then you get Isis was a star. And I'm like, which is it, people? And so it's, I think really it's kind of, there's D, all of the above, and E, none of the above, and you can check both boxes, which sounds extremely paradoxical. But I think you have to, because unfortunately, I think that the skeptical community, what they'll say is, if you can't give me one straight answer, you have to throw everything away.
Oh, yeah.
You see? So, and that's the problem we have with ancient civilizations and Atlantis and things like that. It's just like they plug the ears and say, "No, no, 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 I don't hear you. I don't hear you." When you say, "Okay, well, the pyramids are showing evidence of being more than 5,000 and 7,000 years old. There's evidence of this," and they're like, "Well, la, 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 I don't hear you. They're 5,000 years old. Slaves moved them on logs," and you say, "Well, how did slaves move two times? How are they building this with technology that's so basic that we can't even use with our modern technology? We could not build the pyramids. They use slave labor and logs." I'm like, well, wait a minute. No, no, I don't have this conversation anymore. And I think that that's sometimes what happens with the skeptics, and that's my biggest criticism with skepticism. I think that skepticism doesn't leave enough room for alternate explanations. I think it's arrogance. I think skepticism comes with a lot. And now I think there's safe skepticism, and I think there is quizzical skepticism and not embracing things like right out of the gate. Just if you say, "Well, some guy predicted this was going to happen," you're like, "Well, yeah, it's going to happen because I believe in psychics." Well, that's just silly. But to just take a skeptical approach with a completely closed mind out of the gate, how many times have we talked about the James Randi Foundation?
Oh, yeah, we pick on
And
them a lot.
we pick on them a lot, and they deserve it because they pick on us a lot. So it's quid pro quo as far as I'm
Oh,
concerned.
but there's also people, that would be more on what we'd consider on our side of the whole skepticism issue that do the exact same thing.
How's
And
that?
that are get to a point where they are not necessarily open to skepticism on something that they have a firm belief in.
Oh, you mean they're like, "Don't challenge this because I believe it's true"?
Okay, yeah, for example, let's say that I'm going to put out some generic person in a situation where they are a very talented and very well-known astrologer. And they have people coming to them, and that's how they make their livelihood, and that's how they've done it forever and ever and ever. Well, how open do you think they would be to hearing someone like James Randi or any other skeptic talk about the pitfalls of astrology? Because they have so much invested. They have their whole life. They have their whole well-being invested into the belief that astrology is, is real.
Are you saying that they're taking, that's their own closed-mindedness?
Yeah, I'm saying it happens on both ends, and then there's, people in the middle where they can actually hear a piece of information, and if it goes against what they believe, then they give it a little bit of credibility, or they give it a little bit of attention, and they see where it fits in with their beliefs, and if it does, then they find some way to meld it in and synchronize it with their beliefs, or if it doesn't, they just disregard it. But I think with what you're talking about with skeptics being so far on one side of like, oh, once it gets to a point where it starts really, getting to the point where their argument starts to fail, it's like, well, yeah, let's not let, let's be a little fair here. There's people on our side, the metaphysical side, that are the same way as well.
Well, I think I would kind of have to correct that a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think it depends on what approach you're taking. Because the skeptics usually will shoot down anything that is considered metaphysical or paranormal or psychic or any of those realms that do not – that empirical evidence via science, scientific study, it cannot validate. And then even when they can, it's a little gray. But by scientific laboratory-controlled experiment, control group –
scientific method?
The scientific method. And whenever, if it's done by scientific method...
Stringent scientific method.
Is that what it's called?
No, I'm just saying that it may be following the scientific method, but especially with the James Randi Foundation, they are very stringent following that. It's like every little piece that we can possibly think of has to be accounted for and taken care of. And it's like saying that it becomes very clinical is a huge understatement.
Well, I think what I'm saying, though, is that in their methodology and in their approach, they're taking a shotgun against anything of that. But if you take the astrologer in your example,
mm-hmm.
The astrologer is not necessarily trying to convince everybody the astrology is real. What they're doing is they're making themselves available to that. And what they're not, and also they're not trying to apply astrology in areas where astrology need not apply. For example, it's like, I mean, some astrologers take it to the nth degree. You know, should I apply for a job? Well, only apply for a job on March 13th because Neptune is going to be in conjunction with da 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 da. But if you say, well, what color car, I mean, if you, there's some, like, what should I have for dinner tonight? Then there's going to be a point in, to me, in any really good astrologer, there's going to be a point where the astrologer is going to pull back and say, you know what? You need to kind of use your own brain to work this one out. If you're arguing with your wife, don't look at an astrology chart, or your husband. Don't look at an astrology chart. Just kind of use common sense, have some compassion, be open-minded, and work it out. Don't talk to the charts about this. So, in other words, they themselves know where astrology is applicable and where it's not. Where the skeptics would say skepticism is applicable if it's not science-based, period. It's a shotgun approach.
Ah, I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. That's a little bit more clarification right there, because there's always been these two completely polarized areas where you have the hard and fast skeptic and the hard and fast believer, and then as you move into the middle of the line, you have people that are a little more open, and then you get to the middle of the line where there's people that believe some things and are skeptic about others.
The forming of the skeptics is what I think is interesting too.
The forming and, of them out of mud and clay.
Yes, out of mud and clay. They're, you know, they're the Old Testament Genesis, Book of Genesis skeptics is what they are.
They've been around for a long time.
And God breathed breath into James Randi and stole a rib from him. Who's the other one? The other big name skeptic?
Michael Shermer.
Yeah, Michael Shermer. And actually, he's the one I wanted to talk about.
Oh, really?
Wasn't he a big believer in... I don't remember if it was paranormal or something like that.
Really?
Astrology. I think I'll have to look. But I it was him or someone else. One of those guys. I was reading about a skeptic, and one of them was actually a believer and got built, and as a result, became a skeptic. So to me, it looks like there's a vendetta being carried. It's like they're on a crusade. They're going to burn down the village of every paranormalist. Hey, that's a new word. Every podcast, I swear I come up with a new word, and it's just they want to burn the village down of every one of these heretics, you know. And it's because they got it's almost like, well, they got jilted, and so they're like, I will show them that they're just a bunch of fools. They're not going to bilk. They bilked me, and they're not going to bilk anyone else, and we're going to make sure to protect. And it's always under the guise of protecting the thing. You know, I think the birth of skepticism and skeptics as such a heavy pursuit, I think it's them kind of wanting to validate, you know, that they were a sucker. Or in the James Randi, because he was a stage magician, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And for him, I think it's just plain arrogance. I'm like, I can fool anybody. So you know what? Yeah, it just shows that anybody's, you know, if I can do it, if these people are fooling people because I fool people. So, you know. I think it's arrogance.
And I can totally see the arrogance and ego and everything working with that, because I mean, I personally occasionally will run into things where, especially in the energy healing realm, I'll have a friend or somebody say, "Oh, this person over here is so great and so awesome." I'm like, "No, no, they're not." And I have to actually allow myself to step back for a moment and say, "Okay, Donald, just because what they do is not something that you're interested in or that you believe in does not mean it's this can be helpful to your friend or the person that's looking into it, because different people get help from different sources in different ways." It always surprises me when something like that comes up. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying, where the skeptics would be like, you know, they're like, they wouldn't even go that far. They're like, "No, they're wrong. That's the end of discussion right there."
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll tell you why they're wrong, because this and this and this and this. Like, well, that's just a general concept of all energy healing. Well, mm-hmm. It applies to them because they're in energy healing. That's just like, you know, being very...
pseudoscience.
Yeah. That's like saying anybody of any one religion is responsible for anything that anyone in history has done in the name of that religion.
Right, yeah.
And it's just
but
like...
yeah, Jesus wasn't a god.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
Now tell me about that. What's up with that? Are you burning down villages? Did you get slapped in the face by a Jehovah's Witness coming to your door or something like that?
No. See, it's
Let me ask you this real quick.
Okay.
Do you believe that Jesus healed people?
Yes.
Okay. But you do not believe he is a god?
No.
Okay. So why?
Well,
what is the birth of your skepticism in that?
Since you put it that way, I mean, there are doctors in millions of or hundreds of thousands of hospitals around the world that heal people every day, but I don't consider them a god either.
So I guess that would be what your definition of a god is.
Yeah. So my definition of a god is a supreme being, a person, an intelligence that is...
Not of God, but of a God, if you would say that. In other words, what would Jesus have to have been or done to have been considered a God?
Glowed.
And you say it's valid.
Sparkled like in Twilight Vampires.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I couldn't resist saying that. That was just too easy.
Yeah.
I had to go there. Oh, okay. So you're saying what could have Jesus have done so that... I would consider him a god
it was valid that he was a god.
Well, the thing is, if you believe the stories that are talked about him, then those work. But I don't believe that all of them were necessarily true.
So your skepticism is more in the information that created the idea of his position as a deity.
Yeah. For instance, the whole walking on water thing. Did it happen? Sure, possibly. Did it not happen? Sure, possibly. I really, that's where one of those areas, that one thing right there, I'm very skeptical about, because I think that is one thing that could have been misinterpreted in numerous ways, or exaggerated, or tons of different things could have happened that could have had that story present itself in the way that it did. And so I'm saying, well, okay, if he walked on water the way people think he did, then sure, why not? I'll give him the divinity medal. But at the same time, I'm sitting here going, I really don't think he did. I don't necessarily know how he did or how that whole story came about or anything of that nature, but I see in human nature that it would be so easy for that to be exaggerated and come out a certain way. And so I'm like, no. Human being, sure, I'll give him that. You know, somebody who is really intelligent and really in tune with the consciousness of the divine, sure, I'll give you that. Someone who was the divine,
Well, here's why I kind of took you down that road, because it is a peek into the skeptic's mind. Because if you take out Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ, however you want to look at it, if you take Jesus Christ out and you put in instead Lisa Williams, who is a psychic medium,
mm-hmm.
the skeptic would say the same thing that you said, but with a different thing.
Okay.
They would say, well, I could see how a communication, supposed communication with somebody who died, someone who's dead, would seem that they were really coming through. So I could see how they would believe it. But as far as somebody being dead, being able to talk to somebody who's alive, yeah, I don't think so. So you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting what, and I'm not trying to.
Oh, I know.
I'm not trying to, you know, make you look like a jerk. Jesus did walk on water, you meanie.
The thing is, listeners that have listened to this, and people that have met me, and people that have met other people as well, hopefully allow enough respect for each other to have varying different views, even if it smacks in the face of their personal beliefs. And so, you know, that's one of my things where, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, probably a number of our listeners, that are just, that hear that and go, oh my goodness, I cannot believe Donald dot 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 dot. I'm like, that's fine. You don't have to believe that I don't believe.
Right.
It's only me that has to, you know, choose what I believe and what I don't believe. You get to choose what you believe and what you don't believe as well. And there's total respect there for whatever you want to believe. And this is where I think the skepticism comes in really strongly, is because we have people of varying belief systems, and people that have their faith in one way of determining whether something is true or not. You know, some people are more intuitive and follow their gut, and some other people are more logical and follow the scientific method. And it's like, well, if you follow the scientific method, then following your gut is just, it's just crazy. That's just silly. And then people that follow their gut are just like, well, no, if I follow my gut, then I feel like I'm going through my destiny. I'm following my path, and more easily and more precisely than I could if I was following the scientific method in every decision I make.
Well, and that's what interests me about that whole idea is that what guides people to follow their gut, because it's worked for them? What guides people to be skeptical, because it's worked for them? In what capacity? I don't know, but I do believe that it doesn't seem to be arbitrary. There always seems to be a genesis behind it. There always seems to be something. And like I said, with I don't know if it's Michael Shermer or who it was, the skeptic that was a believer and then got made to look the fool. Mm-hmm. That was the genesis. And I would be willing to bet, and I could be way wrong, that there is something about religion that is the genesis for your skepticism.
I'm sure it is.
In that. And for me, as far as my skepticism in aliens messing with our DNA, yeah, there's a genesis to that. There's a genesis to my skepticism of that. And of course, I try to water it down by saying, well, you know, it could be a thousand things that are that. But there's just something, I don't know. Maybe I feel like it's disempowering for me as a human being to believe that, you know, we didn't find our own way through it. But there must be something. But I always think there's a genesis to the skepticism.
Yeah, and
I think it really says something about who we are personally.
And I personally find it more empowering to believe that Jesus was more of a really, really good healer that was way beyond his time, but not necessarily divine. Because
I think differently. I prefer to see Jesus as divine. But I prefer to see all of us as divine.
No. Hold on. He was divine, but he wasn't the divine. In other words, he was divine, but he wasn't God.
Well, nobody can be God.
Well, that's what you had asked me, though. Do you believe that Jesus is God?
No, I asked if Jesus was a God.
So this whole discussion that we had on that whole thing was one little letter?
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to go back and listen to see if I really did say that, but that was what I was intending.
I'll put it to rest right now. I still don't believe he was a god. I think he was very, very high on the divinity level. But, you know, my concept of what makes a god, you have to do quite a bit.
Are you talking about a lowercase g?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you believe anybody was a god? Do you believe that any corporeal person that's walked the earth has been a god?
Oh, that's a difficult one. Right offhand, I can't think of anyone.
Okay. Now, but unlike the skeptic, you wouldn't say dismiss offhand that they have existed.
No, I can totally. It's like the whole immortal thing. It's like, right. I see the possibility. I see, from my understanding of how things, the probability of it happening. Sure, I can see that being possible and probable, and even most likely. But at the same time, it's so rare, or from my understanding, it's so rare that it's happened that, you know, it's like, it's hard to verify. So it's like, sure, they may have been divine. They may have been what a lot of people, you know, some, they may have been what we'd consider a god, but for whatever reason, it's hard to say for sure.
Well, you know, I would say that most of the skeptics out there are not hardcore skeptics.
Oh, really?
One example is that I received an email. Actually, this was from my ex-wife when we first started doing the podcast.
Okay.
A long time ago. And then she said, you know, I believe she's an atheist. I don't know 100%, but I think she'd listened to the shows and she'd said, well, yeah, there's no proof for any of this stuff that you're talking about. You can't validate any of this. Yet, it was an interesting conversation to have. It wasn't, you need to stop and hang up your hat and not disseminate these lies, which I think that the serious skeptics do. They're out on a crusade.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
I know there's a lot of skeptics. A friend of mine, he is an intense skeptic. He has no use for this podcast and has never listened to it, and very likely never will. And he says to me, he goes, you know, I'm never going to listen to that. And, you know, I think it's just just a bunch of, I forget what he uses, but it's not an expletive, but he used some kind of cute term for it. Some British term for, you know, silliness.
Poppycock.
Right? No, it wasn't poppycock. He says, I don't believe that. I'm like, I know you don't. You know I do. And he's like, yeah, I know you do. And that's the end of the conversation. He is not a hardcore, he's skeptical. He doesn't take things on face value. But then again, 2012 worried him a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was just like, I don't know, things seem to be going upside down. Do you think we need to be concerned? Because that was on the heels of the, remember? That was on the heels of the, 2012 was on the heels of the Sandy Hook shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And with all that going on, he's like, is there really something to that? He asked me that. He goes, you think there's really something to that? And I'm like, we just don't need to be in a fear mode, you know? But yet he thinks that the rest of this is just a joke. He thinks that but he's not a hardcore skeptic to where he wants to disprove. And I know people on Facebook that are atheists and are, you know, you Christians are a bunch of idiots is what they say. And you people who believe in any religion are a bunch of idiots. And I want to say you like where I'm coming from, but I would have to be filed under that as far as you're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
For the atheists. But I think that's kind of interesting, the different spectrum of atheists. You have that are just like, yeah, that's what I believe, I'm good with it. And there's others that are just like, you know, I will drill you into the ground and make sure you never share these absurd beliefs again.
You know what, though? I have to say, skeptics do play a very valuable role.
Ooh, I agree with that.
Because I think they're a balancing force to the complete fundamentalist believers. For instance, I'm going to say something nice about James Randi.
Okay.
He's done the whole thing with proving that astrology is basically bunk. In a larger picture, he is able to show, you know, he's like, see, this astrology, okay, we're all going to give you the same piece of paper and about 30 people in a class, and it's all going to be the same thing, and without y'all doing anything, we're going to have you all say, you know, how much does it seem to that it relates to you? And anyway, without that information coming out, then there could be a lot more people that fall for the information about astrology that, you know, is there to make a quick buck but doesn't really have any astrological value to it, more so than, hey, this is what you need to know. Like, here's a chart. Isn't it pretty? Give me money, you know?
You're saying that he gives tools to allow or to help people form what's called the healthy skepticism, the term we almost need.
Yeah. And in a bigger picture, if we pull out the lens even further than that, he allows a different choice for people to take, because it's either, you know, with astrology, we're on astrology, we'll stay with astrology, because if there weren't any skeptics and astrology was just, this is astrology, it's like gravity, how can you not believe in astrology? It's like, I just don't. And like, well, then something's really messed up with you. He gives another option to say, you know, I don't believe in astrology because I've seen this, I've read these reports, I've read these scientific studies that they've done with it, and to me that's more real than anything astrology can say. So it gives people options, it gives people different choices of belief, which then of course follows down judgments and other beliefs and other things like that, which does create a good variety of ideas and beliefs throughout the whole human consciousness.
You're talking about making an informed decision based on all of the available evidence or information.
That's part of it. That's part of it. That's more, if we come further out, like I was talking about, where, you know, let's say that you're at in front of two doors, and it's, one is you believe that astrology is real and extremely helpful and can do wonders for you if you actually follow it. And on the other door, it's basically astrology is nothing but, you know, pseudoscience, hoopla, dupla, and, you know, following it, you're basically just wasting your time, wasting your money, and et cetera. You have choices there. Right there, those two doors, you have door one or door two. If you take the skepticism away, all you have is door one.
Right. Yeah.
And it's either believe in astrology or don't believe in astrology, as opposed to believe in astrology, and if you don't believe in astrology, well, why don't you believe in astrology? Like, I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah. I would agree with that, actually. I was thinking the same thing you were, that the skeptics are very healthy. They do provide something that we really need as far as the balance goes. Because, and I agree with you as well, that there are a lot of people out in the metaphysical community who are so on the other side that they don't want to be refuted. And I actually, you know, I read tons and tons of different blogs. And some of these blogs, they have the, oh, check this out. And I'm like, well, Did you verify that? Have you ever seen those on either those blogs or websites or Facebook posts that are like, here's the UFO compilation?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
And I sit there and I don't watch very many of them. I'll watch them every now and then. And as I watch them, I ask myself, I wonder how many of these are photoshopped or created. There's that show that was called Fact or Fake?
Oh, Fact or Fiction, yeah. Or Fact or Fake, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Is that the show?
I think it's Fact or Faked, yeah. F-A-K-E-D.
Yes. Yeah. And where they actually got a report on something. And one of them, they've done Sasquatches and UFOs. Actually, I think there's a new term for UFOs now. But
oh, really? What's it? What is it?
I've got to look. What is the new term for UFOs? Something like something phenomenon. I'll have to look. And I will put it in the show notes.
Okay, I am curious. How quickly can you find that information? Within a minute?
No,
okay.
Not within a minute.
Because I'm really interested, because I'm like, there's a new name for UFOs?
Man, I tell you what, I'll look after the thing and I'll tell you. I'll look after it. Unfortunately, with recording, I like to keep my browser closed because it gets greedy. So I don't want to like chew up bandwidth, precious bandwidth.
I mean, I'm still not over Pluto being demoted to a non-planet, and now you're saying UFOs have a different name. I'm like, oh man, what's going on?
Yeah, I bet you they wanted to see if it would grab. The idea was, it's not a matter of if it's unidentified or not. It's just this phenomenon, and we just need to recognize that it's a phenomenon one way or another. Whether we, I think they're trying to bring wonder into it. I don't know. Anyway, but there's a show factor faked, and what they do is they duplicate these reports. Mm-hmm. People say, well, there's a Bigfoot wandering around in the woods in Florida, and what they do is they go and they try to see if they – it's kind of a James Randi type approach in a way. And actually, some of them, they actually said, well, yeah, from what we could do, we believe that this was a substantial weird thing that somebody encountered because we couldn't duplicate it. Other ones, they duplicated it so well that it's like, yeah, this is probably faked. And I think that – so I think that skepticism is really good with that. To keep an open mind on, I do not believe every channeling I come across. I do not believe that everybody who says they're a psychic is a psychic. And I do not believe the things that...
I do.
You believe that everybody who says they're psychic is psychic?
Yes.
Well, then let me ask you this. Do you believe that everybody who's received psychic information really received that?
No.
Okay, let me clarify that. I stand corrected.
Because you said... Okay, because that's one of my beliefs right there. Said everybody who says they're psychic is psychic, and I believe everybody has psychic ability within them. Therefore, everybody is psychic.
Okay, I'll give you that. I mean, there are skeptics who would say otherwise. I think it's irrelevant whether somebody is psychic or not. I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% that I do believe everybody has psychic abilities. It's a human endowment. However, it's like, what are you doing with that? So if you say I'm psychic, and you say, okay, well, give me a reading. I don't know. Your house is going to slide into the bay?
I live in the mountains.
Yeah, exactly. I live in the mountains. your friend's house is going to slide into the bay? I don't know. But, I mean, the skeptics really do serve a purpose. I really think they do serve a valuable purpose as far as not.
I don't know if you're hearing that or not.
What I just said?
No, what I heard is a... It coming across your microphone.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a... Like if you're out in the wind or something.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it'll show up on your recording.
I have no idea. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. There's things going on in the house today, or this week, and I don't know what it is.
Oh, you know what? I bet it's the meteorite coming through. Or the meteor coming through.
Isn't that going to be on the 15th?
Well, yeah, what's... but 14th or 15th? It's getting kind of close now. It doesn't just all of a sudden show up. It kind of has to move in.
It's true, yeah. It's not like a mother-in-law.
And
by the way, I'm staying.
And, it's already the end of the 14th on the other side of the world, so...
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyway, we should probably get back to the show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I had no idea.
You know, what's interesting, I love 3-Minute News. It's one of the things I subscribe to. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's by Suspicious Observer. Interestingly enough, that's his little his thing. But he gives either 2 or 3 or 4 minute news bits, and it's always about space weather. He starts off usually talking about just weather. General weather around the globe. Usually it'll be like cyclones or hurricanes or typhoons or tsunamis. He'll talk about earthquakes that are happening, and then he'll talk about the sun. He'll talk about either what coronal holes there are or sunspots or flares or any of that stuff. And he believes wholeheartedly. He says that the skeptics make him crazy and NASA makes him crazy and NASA's barely getting on board. But he says you can correlate the earthquakes to the geocentric motion of the planets. When you see several planets that are in – he doesn't say conjunction, but he shows them in alignment. Uh-huh. I forget the term he uses. But you see them all in a row. He says this is when you're going to see earthquakes happen.
Oh, wow.
And they do. And he's got charts that show, you know, this is what the planetary alignment's going to be, and you could expect there, and then they correlate. It's amazing.
Hmm. Wow.
And then also the space weather where there it's coronal holes, if there's a photo stream and all this other stuff, and he correlates that really, really well. I'll definitely give you a link to that.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that. And it's 3 minutes, right?
A bit, either 2, 3, or 4 minutes, usually 3 minutes.
Every week or every 2 weeks or every month?
Daily.
Daily. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just check in a couple times a week.
Yeah, I mean, I get it in via one of the blogs that I subscribe to, but I bet you he has his own somebody else is picking it up from. But I'll put it in the show notes, and I'll definitely send you a link to it, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, skeptics, I kind of feel like we're losing the steam with the whole idea of skeptics because we're starting to get into other areas.
Because we're not as heavy skeptics.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm kind of curious, have we exhausted the conversation on skeptics? Or do you think there is more that we just haven't quite found yet?
I think we've had a pretty good touch on it. I mean, one of my curiosities was kind of where your strongest skepticism was, but we've talked about that.
Oh yeah, and yours was the Anunnaki and DNA being is that your biggest skepticism of information that we've talked about, or is that just one of them?
It's one of them. You know what another one is?
Mm.
And this is going to really bother people.
Okay.
Is the whole cabal business. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, where we're being bred just for, and then there's going to be some like somebody or something or some kind of alien's going to come down and we'll be like sheep and cattle and we're just going to be cold and.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay. That's something else.
Yeah. That's something way out there. I don't know what that is. But, mine is about that there is that all the world's decisions are being created by being managed by, some people call it the Illuminati, some people call it the Cabal, and they say that it involves the Rockefellers and the Bilderbergs and
Morgans, J.P. Morgans.
Exactly. The Morgans, the Bilderbergs, the Bushes, the Rockefellers, I know I'm leaving somebody out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But that there is this consortium of dark types that want nothing more than to control the world and to make sure that we stay subjugated and controlled so that they can maintain their power base.
And that's your biggest skepticism.
Yeah, I think that's just, that's silly. I think it's absolutely silly. And people are going to say that I'm at risk of being mind controlled or they've gotten to me. But I think that's silly. I think it's absolutely silly. I think it's the ultimate in giving our personal power away.
Oh, darn.
Why?
Because I give a little bit of credibility to that.
I think it's misinterpreted is what I think.
Oh,
I think
really?
There are some very selfish and greedy and power hungry people.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they work together. I mean, I think that they help another person out if they think they can get something out of it. But I don't think there's this big consortium that meets in this, in a dead volcano somewhere. And, you see them sitting around this big table. It's like out of some big James Bond movie, the way people talk about it. Yeah, and their goal is to control the banks. And, oh, yeah, I'm sure that people have their hands in the bank's pie. I have no doubt about that. I believe that. I believe that there are these very powerful and wealthy people that manipulate the banks so they can make profit off of it. But as far as to control the masses, I don't know about that. I mean, and the example I'm going to use, I just watched a documentary on the Koch brothers.
Okay.
You know who they are, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jack and I watched a documentary on them. And the documentary was about how they're trying to control this and that and that. And they are. I personally think they have an ideology and they want to see if they can get more. By buying, they're just using their money to try to make the world the way they want to make it, which is to secure more power, right? But I don't think they're part of some big consortium. I just think that they're in touch with people who they think can help them do that.
Hmm.
I don't think they're part of some big cabal Illuminati. It's just too Dan Brown for me. I don't believe that.
I just like the idea of... the way human nature or the human systems are set up is very hierarchical. And it seems like it's been that way for a long time. It's like, well, why would this not be a higher? Why, if you go higher and higher and higher, what would be the highest level that you could see? And it's like, well, then, you know, it'd be some cabal or Illuminati or type group that's controlling the different governments, that are controlling the different agencies in those governments, that are controlling the different businesses. And, you know, it comes down all the way down to, you know, the poor little, you know, worker that is working, you know, for minimum wage to eke out a living in the life that, and you know, it's like, let's give him some entertainment here, that'll make him feel good. Oh, let's move the news and fear-based stuff over here because we want to create this kind of an experience right now, because if we move the consciousness of the people that we are have influence over, then we can increase sales in this part over here and in this product over here, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, that's why I give more credibility to it.
Well, I think there's partial to that. Of course, they're going to do things that help them to increase sales, and of course, they're going to do things that help them gain their power base.
Okay, so what's,
but I don't.
Okay, so what's the difference between a cabal or an agency or a government or somebody financially manipulating the markets and somebody who's really business savvy, working the markets the best they know how, and they're both doing extremely well? I mean, what's the difference when you look at it from when you look at them?
Okay, here's the difference. There are groups that believe that these people are in power that want to, number one, they're building all these underground bases, which maybe they are, but they're also using chemtrails control the atmosphere, and they're using HAARP to control the weather, and that is to create drought conditions, to starve out the food, to lower the population of the earth. This is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. So
this
big
Machiavellian master plan to basically get rid of what they consider these useless peons.
Ah.
I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, enough.
Okay, so maybe to that extent, that may be where my credibility starts to wane a bit.
Yeah.
At that level, it's like, okay, because one of the things I heard with the whole chemtrails, I don't know if it was in this podcast or if it was me talking to another friend, just remembered. The idea that maybe the chemtrails were not so much to poison or infect maliciously the population, but to actually help stave off certain infections, immunize, as it were, against certain infections and diseases that were found, and therefore they're helping out in that way. Basically the complete opposite of what a lot of people believe.
I don't agree with that either. I don't think that's true. Because why would they do that? Why would they help people without their knowledge? Because they think people would stop it? People let us go to war and just said, oh, well, yeah, we need to do that. You know, I just think people tolerate a lot. People say, let me get on with my life and I'll let you do what you're going to do as long as you don't take money out of my pocket.
Yeah. Well, you know, to talk about, huh? The thing is, if we want to look at this, and I know we're getting into a completely different topic right now, yeah, and we're going to have to close this this episode up really soon. But just from that perspective, from what I understand, it's like you don't want to kill off your worker base because then you have to work.
Well, exactly.
And so, yeah, therefore, you want to keep your worker base. And so when you say, why would anybody do anybody or something for, you know, just out of the goodness of their heart? I'm like, if they're your worker base, you want to keep your worker base alive.
I don't know if that's out of the goodness of their heart or not. I don't think that that's the case. That they're trying to create these immunizations? Well, yeah, I'm not buying it.
It's a whole nother perspective. That's all it is.
Well, let's do this. In wrapping up the show, we'll talk a little bit of that so we don't feel like we're jumping off the edge. Nowhere. With skepticism.
Yes.
Conspiracy theorists. And we had a whole episode on conspiracy theorists.
We had two episodes.
We had two episodes on conspiracy theories. And we said, all right, are you going to be so quick to jump into a conspiracy theory? Well, I think skepticism is very healthy when it comes to these kind of conspiracy theories as well, as much as it is to believe every report of what a psychic said and all these other things, especially in things like that on a big level that can affect people globally or on a national level where conspiracy theories tend to do. Mm-hmm. You've got to have some healthy skepticism, because if you just accept that wholeheartedly, you're going to make these extremely rash decisions. Just like not having a healthy skepticism, you go to see a psychic reader and they say, you've got a curse on you. You need to come back with $200 so that I can clear this curse. You need to have some healthy skepticism there.
Yeah.
It's like no matter anything anybody tells anybody, I think the first thing you need to do is let it go through your skeptic filter, as the term is healthy skepticism. Even John Edward, who is a medium, he's very skeptical. He's very skeptical. And he also says, don't believe me right out of hand. Just kind of use your own, let yourself decide that, and don't accept everything right out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll look at Dr. Phil, who you may or may not like him. A lot of people don't. This guy's a skeptic, but yet he has John Edward on a show, for example.
He did?
So
I didn't see
that. Oh,
yeah.
I think he's had him on a couple of times. He's had John Edward. And
wow.
Other people on. But he's a skeptic. Yeah, but I mean, and I think there's a good balance. I think you're right. There's absolutely a good balance between not being too close-minded and not being too open-minded.
Oh, exactly. And I think that's a perfect place to basically end up the show.
Do this, dust off your hands.
Oh, there we go. Dun, 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 dun.
That's the noise your hands make when you dust them off?
Oh, well, they don't have dust on
dun,
them
dun,
at the moment.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, I was actually dusting off my hands. I wasn't sure if the microphone was picking him up or not. And so
no,
I thought,
no, you were saying that with your voice. You're going, dun, 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 dun. I'm like, whose hands make that sound when they're dusting it off? A to-be-continued drama is the sound your hands make. Dun, dun, dun. Dusting off my hands. Stay tuned.
I got grit on my hand. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, man. That's good.
So we end on a silly note, don't
we? Yeah, I like ending on a silly note. That's really nice. So...
You better start thanking some folks here, Betty.
I know. So, David and I. David, now if I do it straight faced, it's going to be.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You're caught.
I got a case of the giggles. Yeah. It's too bad. Sorry, guys. Anyway, so David and I would like to thank you for listening to this episode. If you're a longtime listener, we definitely appreciate your continued interest in this show. And if this was your first episode, we hope that we gave you a little something to chew on mentally and expanded your mind a little bit more.
Cool. And here's our web presence. We are on our own website, which is TakeTheRedPillPodcast.com. We are on Facebook, which is Facebook.com/TTRP Podcast. We are on Twitter, which is also TTRP Podcast. And, of course, we have email addresses that you can find through any of those avenues. Oh, and we're on iTunes, which is, you just do a search under podcasts for Take the Red Pill, and you'll find us there. You can find our episodes actually on almost all of those venues except for Twitter. You can actually get episodes on Facebook, on iTunes, and on our website. And you can leave feedback and comments on all of those areas as well. And you can send us an email and tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you.
Definitely. So for Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you to not believe everything you hear, including this show.
Yeah. And I'm David Deere. Keep one eye opened and keep one eye just a little bit squinted.